Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the American shit. Let's go hook him up! I just whipped your ass.
You take it all away.
I'm gonna dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Katrera. What's going on, Katrera?
Not much. What's going on?
Not too much. We also have our other co-host on the line, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward and Katrera. How are you this evening?
Well, I don't know about Katrera, but I'm doing fucking great. Ask me why, Craig.
I know I'm going to hate myself. Why, Ed?
Because come Sunday night, I will be having dinner with a beautiful solo darling and also with the beautiful and Asian Mia Yam and also my favorite women's wrestler, Liva Bates. So life is good right now.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So I figure that's a better story than the one that Couture started us off with last week, so.
That's true. I had a good day myself, as a matter of fact. Had a fine day at my new job. Been there 5 weeks now, and I was about ready to pack up for the day, and my boss that I've known for 5 weeks came over, and he holds out his hand, and he flips me a $100 bill, and he says, "I want you to take your wife and your son out, and I want you to have a nice dinner on me." And he patted me on the back and said, "Thanks for your hard work."
Wow. So
right?
I guess he knowing you pocketed that $100 and you're just going to tell him that you took him to a nice restaurant.
As soon as we get done with the show, I am going to buy my wife the best $7 steak that money can buy.
Big spender. We all know you're a big spender.
You betcha.
Well, that's cool. I mean, I wish my boss at fucking UPS would fucking hand me fucking a $100 bill. The only thing I ever got was some fucking plaque that said I'd been there for 15 years. And, you know, there was no money in the back of it.
That's because he would know what you would spend it on. That's why he don't hand it to you.
That's why they don't drug test the UPS.
They don't drug test the UPS?
Well, they don't drug test the warehouse workers unless you come in and they can tell you're like fucking stoned out of your mind or fucked up out of your mind, or if you get into some kind of serious accident there and then. I don't even think they do. The only ones that really get tested like annually, like, you know, repeatedly, are the ones that drive the 18-wheelers, and the brown truck drivers, they only get tested if they wreck.
I would hope they test those people.
Yeah. Well, like I say, they don't do it till they wreck. So, you know, there's a I'll let you all in a little secret. There are a lot of UPS drivers that are on cocaine.
No.
seriously, they need a little pick-me-up, because that's the only reason why I'm not a driver, is I don't want the fucking hassle. I mean, there are some drivers who have, like, a neighborhood route, and they've had it forever, but when you start, you fucking got to be a replacement for this dude, and then the next week this dude, and you got to do different shit, and they're fucking on your ass, and it's like, fuck that. I'm just going to stay in the warehouse and do the paper route and just, you know, I'm probably not making as much as I could overall, but my life is a lot less stressful overall. Plus, I don't have to worry about getting fired for fucking because some idiot hit me or because I hit a fucking branch that was too low or something.
Cocaine, what is this, the 80s?
Yeah, but cocaine is around. Obviously, you don't know very much about this thing.
No, because this is, I'm not versed in cocaine.
Yeah. I'll tell you this about cocaine. You could go years and years and years and years without doing cocaine, but then you do fucking one line for whatever reason, and the next thing you know, you fucking spend like $200 on an 8-ball that night, and it just can't stop until it's all gone.
I've done coke twice, and it was 1990. The last time I did it, and
about 16.
No. I was 7. I was 18.
In 90, you were 18. How old are you?
Yeah, I'm 42. Yeah.
Oh, so I thought you were younger, like Brian and Vinny.
No.
Okay.
I just look better because, you know. Anyway. Yeah. So. This girl I was hollering at, Maria, said, hey, you want to do coke? And I'm like, yeah. But I didn't, you know, but I was hollering at her. So, and did a couple lines. And then I didn't like the way it made me feel. And it just gave me a stiffy for about 4 hours. And then I said, I'm never doing that again. And then Maria came around about the 4th of July and said, hey, Craig, you want to do some coke? And I said, yes, I do. And that was the last time.
I never was never even exposed to drugs until I was like 26 years old.
Huh.
When I smoked dope for the first time. Before that, I never even been around it.
The first time I did anything was my 8th grade year. End of 8th grade, I smoked weed for the first time, and then continued to be a screw up until 1 year out of high school.
You actually beat me to smoking weed, because I actually didn't start smoking weed until my freshman year. It was the first time I tried it, and then I remember because my two main buddies that I hung out with, they fucking smoked weed, and then they also got into coke before me. But basically, my brother was driving us to a fucking rock concert, and trying to think who it was. I saw so many, and I always went with the same dude. So we're in this van. My brother had this old-time van, and in the back, it basically just had like a love couch or love seat kind of thing. So my buddies are sitting there. I'm in the front, and my brother's got his pipe right fucking there and the fucking thing in the middle. And I can tell my friends are, like, looking at it, and they're kind of like, I need me to ask my brother. But at the point, I wasn't smoking the weed, so I wasn't saying anything. So then my brother's like, you guys want to smoke some pot? And, of course, my fucking friends are eyes lit up, and they're like, yeah. So, of course, he takes the hit, and he passes it to me, and then I'm like, fuck, okay. So ended up hitting it. Only took, like, one or two hits off of it, so I didn't get too screwed up. But that was basically the gateway to fucking over 20
everything
years
else.
of yeah
debauchery.
Yeah. And then the first time I ever did cocaine is we used to, like, my freshman, well, all my years in high school, we'd always hang out at either one or two different people's houses, and just we'd get our older brothers or somebody to buy us beer, or we'd just stand outside the fucking gas station so somebody bought us a beer. But one time my one buddy had a little 20 of cocaine, and he made these tiny, tiny, like not even the tip of your fingernail, like length lines, and we did that, and we thought we were all fucking cool because we did that. But, you know, it didn't really do anything to us because it wasn't really enough. And then I just remember going, once again, I'm with my brother. And he used to race street bikes. So I was actually going with him on one of his trips. And Tim and the guy, our neighbor, who was like his mechanic, and then this other buddy, and we're just hanging out before we're about to set off. And all of a sudden, this one dude starts breaking all these big lines of cocaine. And they fucking put it in front of me first. So I'm like, oh, fuck. So I end up fucking doing my line. And then, like, because, you know, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I fucking blew out, dude. So I fucking blew the other line. Well, luckily, I didn't blow it too hard, but it was enough to fucking scare everybody at first. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So they were able to recover their lines and stuff. And then, once again, that opened the door to, I'll be honest, I've had a few periods where I've had, like, a Friday night, you know, cocaine thing going on for a few years here and there over time. But I've only done maybe one or two lines in, like, the last 5 or 6 years. So for the most part, I've been good.
I smoked dope pretty regularly for, like, about a year or so after first started smoking. And around people, they want to smoke dope and go out. I want to smoke dope and stay home.
Yes.
I don't need to be out in public. I want to smoke dope and stay home and have the pizza, you know, pizza on standby delivery. So,
yeah.
I don't want to be around people.
I'm good either way. On coke, though, if you just had like a little bit, it's cool to go out. But if you fucking have an 8-ball, you fucking don't want to go nowhere. You just want to sit there and do your fucking 8-ball all night. So, but as far as pot, I don't mind going out on pot.
It's too easy to tell when I'm smoking dope. That's why I can't get nowhere.
People always wonder why I don't have a problem with people that smoke weed. I don't think it's any worse than alcohol, you know, because you never pick up the paper and read, you know, family of four killed by man that smoked weed. You know, it's always the guy that has been on a 3-day bender. So, pardon me. And, you know, it is what it is. I don't do it anymore. And I don't necessarily like to be around stoners. No offense, Ed. You know, it is what it is.
Different kinds of stoners. There's the stoners that haven't been smoking for a while and get the giggles and can be annoying. And then there's the people that do when you know they're high.
That's true.
I still got an old dugout around here somewhere. At a ball when I was a. You ever had one of those, Ed?
I've actually never had one of those, but I've had, you know, different pipes and different bongs, and I even have a ceramic. It's in the garage somewhere. It was kind of hard to use, but I have this fucking foot high ceramic Kinney from South Park with like four spouts on it, four whatever you call it.
A few years ago, I couldn't find my dugout when he had so much weed, so I had to do it with cocaine. Felt like somebody
fucking worse.
Felt like I was on Cops or something, you know, and I got caught. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the most ghetto way to. Well, that or when you rip a part of a hotel Bible.
Oh, dude!
A hotel Bible.
Which I've actually done in Vegas once. Well, you know, up until a certain point, all the Bibles ever made were made out of hemp.
Oh, sure. Yeah, the Constitution, too.
Yeah. No, they just signed the Declaration, and then they lit up some blunts.
I remember the first time I ever smoked, dope, it was just me and my friends were sitting around. We had one joint, we were smoking, and it was like for 2 hours, we were laughing, but wasn't nothing funny. Weird. I'm sure we
all remember those days.
So.
Why are we talking about this? The one time that I clearly remember, I was at a buddy's house. We smoked out, and it was back when the first Nintendo was out, like the very first, and it was all brand new to us.
With the robot.
The very first Nintendo, before the 64, just, you know, the big box.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody was playing Excitebike. Remember that game?
Yeah.
And he had a pet cat, and the cat was bewildered and pawing at the screen of the little motorcycle going down the track. And we laughed and laughed and laughed at that cat for what could have been hours.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've seen plenty of people doing drugs in the locker room somewhere, right, Craig?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I have.
I actually got a wrestling related story. Unless you got something, Craig.
Okay.
Well, a couple weeks ago, go ahead, tell your story. Then I'll tell mine.
Oh, I was gonna say there was this cat that I used to go to a school with his brother-in-law, and when I was going to school with him, this kid was a mechanic, and he always had the fastest car. And his wife was super. His sister was super hot, and she always bought us booze and stuff. And my buddy's sister married, who would later become Randy the Pimp Taylor. And on my third night in Cloverdale, BC, I think I wrestled the Inferno and another kid in a three-way. I think his name was the Commando or something like that. And I saw my buddy's sister in the locker room completely nude, and they were doing bumps of coke off the bleachers or off the benches in the showers. Yeah. Oh my! You remember the song Centerfold about the guy seeing his crush in high school in the center of the magazine? Yeah, I saw it in real life. It's pretty crazy.
Well, honestly, there's nothing better and also nothing worse at the same time than a chick who loves cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
It's the easiest, way to get laid. It's the easiest way to get laid, but unfortunately it comes with a lot of drama.
Where did Randy the Pimp Taylor rank in the PWI 500?
just missed it, 501.
What I was talking about earlier, I'm glad I never had to lower myself to stand outside a convenience store and ask somebody about my beer. I never had to do that. I lived in Mississippi, and it was right on the border to, like, we just had to cross the Mississippi River Bridge to get to Louisiana, where it was 18 to drink. So, very easy to get alcohol back then.
It never took more than asking three different people.
I don't have to. I'd be humiliated to have to do something like that.
No one would always just be like, he'd just shrug his shoulders and be like, okay. But going to the little story I was going to tell, it actually just happened a few weeks ago. and it involves one of Landstorm's students. And so I went to Austin to go see the Queen of Queens tournament, which featured Leva Bates, Athena, Sue Young, and a few other girls. Anyway, they had it was a whole big show. But anyway, I was supposed to hang out with Lance's student, his name's Jack, and then Leva and this other girl after the show. So I'm at the show, and as soon as I walk in, Jack's having his match, and he's like in a tornado, like one of those gauntlet matches, and he Furley won, and then he loses, and after that, and then they had the show, and then at intermission, he came out, and he was, like, working the gimmick stand, so I went up there, and I started talking to him, and dude was totally fine, right, totally fine, but he asked some fan, I forgot exactly how it went down, but either the fan offered to go get him a drink, or he asked this one guy to go get him a drink, so the guy comes back with a beer for him, right? All right, so then I saw him basically drink this one beer. I hadn't seen him around because this place is at a bar, but I didn't, he's backstage. I never really saw him too much before. But like I said, he was perfectly fine. Okay, throughout the night, I don't know if he kept drinking or what, because like I said, I wasn't seeing what he was doing backstage, but he came out to work in like the main event, like the assist Leva, and you could kind of tell something was off. There's one spot where you could kind of tell where there's a lot of interference going on, and he was supposed to do a spot with this one other girl that was interfering, and he kind of, you could tell something was off, and then she did, you could tell she did like a truth martini and just went and kicked him in the balls. And she kicked the shit out of this fucking dude in the balls. So anyway, the match finishes. The guy helps Leva to the back. They have some more smudge going on. So then, you know, after the show, you know, I don't see him around, but you know, Leva and Candice LeRae are at the gimmick table. So I'm talking to them for a while, and she's like, "Yeah, we'll go. We're gonna go eat and this and that." And then she was like, I got to go change. She was covered in beer. She did like the Stone Cold thing. So I was like waiting at the bar. So I'm going back and forth with her, and I'm messaging him, but I'm not getting no responses from him. And she's like, "Well, we'll be down there in a little full show." So anyway, I meet him outside, and she's like, "Yeah, Jack's not gonna make it." And I was like, "Really?" He's like, "Yeah, I had a couple of the guys drive him home, and we're gonna take his car." And I was really, I go, "Why?" He goes, "Oh, he's fucking fucked up. He's all fucking drunk off his ass. So we figured we don't want him driving, so we have him take him home. He only lived like a couple blocks away." And I was like, "Really? He's fucking drunk?" And we had dinner with like a bunch of the other people from the show too, and everyone was kind of like talking about him being drunk. And then the next day he made a post saying that don't ever have a fan get you a beer because he thinks the fan spiked his fucking drink, because he's also been like, had some other stuff going on. And like I say, I was there when the guy brought him the drink, so I guess it's possible. I'm not going to call the guy a liar, but a lot of the workers thought he was fucking just got drunk and stuff. But, you know, I mean, I hope the dude didn't get any heat out of it. I mean, he did wrestle for them this past Sunday. But, yeah, it was kind of, it was like I say, it was weird. It was like I say, when I saw him, he was perfectly fine. And by the time the show was over, it was intermission, so it was only, what, an hour or two, and somehow he got, like, so shit-faced that he couldn't fucking do anything, you know, that they basically sent him home. Yeah, it was kind of a trip, but, who knows what really happened. But, you know, hopefully, you know, he's telling the truth, and hopefully he won't do something like that again, because, you know, I mean, like I say, he was involved in the main event a little bit impaired, and but, you know, he basically just got kicked in the balls, so he didn't hurt anyone or anything, but I guess it turned out all right. But it was kind of like, I was just like tripping. I was like, when the fuck is this? How did he get all fucked up? I can see everybody walking in and out of the bar. I never saw him come out of the bar. You know what I mean? So, who knows?
Okay, one more quick story. One more quick story, and then we'll get into pay-per-view. I was at a show. It was myself and Brian, and Vinny was not there, but our friend Big Wood was there. And it was an FTW show, and I won't mention the wrestler's name because I don't do that. I'm ready to tell you. Nobody's going to hear nobody. But anyway, on the show was Raven, the Disco Inferno, and Billy Gunn. And also somebody playing Lord Humongous, but it was one of those four. Okay, so we see this wrestler chatting up a very younger girl. She was probably, I'm guessing, 20, maybe 21. Okay.
Yeah, for a minute there, I thought you were gonna say like 16 or 14.
Well, this is the thing. I've noticed the older I get, the older I think girls look. So it could have been, anyway, that doesn't pertain to the story. So I see him chatting up this girl, and then things kind of get weird. He's going to put his hands around her waist. This is after the show. Everybody's cleared out. We're actually talking to one of the other guys. Actually, one of the four, but like I said. So then things get obnoxious, and the girl pushes said wrestler, throws her hand up in his face, and walks away, to which he yelled at her, "Come on, I've got coke." and she walked out of the little arena area.
They usually work.
So make of that what you will, and what he was asking her to do or perform. But yeah, those, we all had a hearty laugh.
Yeah, that's funny. All right, well, I guess we can go ahead and we can start on the pay-per-view since we did like 30 minutes on drug stories.
Yes, we did. And in that 30 minutes, I still have not found the lineup for the pay-per-view. I'm looking. I had this in my notes that I lost. Talk amongst yourselves. Little machine here.
Who, did you see the pre-show picture, or did you miss it like always?
No, I didn't watch it.
I actually got to see the Adam Rose match, but I didn't get, I ended up missing the chicks because I was on my way to get a pizza. And, so I missed that one. But the, I enjoyed the Adam Rose match because the other day you guys were talking about noticing Layla. Well, I noticed Layla very much on the pre-show, and
yes,
I've always liked Layla. I've always thought she's been hot, and she's even more hot when she has the straight hair. That probably sounds racist, but I don't care.
Absolutely.
But she must have just got like a new boob job or something because I couldn't take my eyes off of her.
Yes, she has unleashed the girls upon the world. But I've got the results right here. Yeah, Fandango versus Adam Rose. It went about a minute, and Fandango won very quickly with a party foul. Nothing really to it.
Adam Rose.
Yeah, it was like the main thing of the match is basically just Layla and Summer outside the thing.
What was that, Couture?
I said that Adam Rose is going to be stupid. They need to get rid of him.
Think so?
Yes.
He's fine as an opener.
You know what? I think they should ramp it up. I think they should, instead of patsying around with it, I think they should just go whole hog. I think they should put plants in the audience. Confetti should fall from the ceiling. There should be balloons dropping all around him. And then, if that doesn't work, then stop it.
And it would still be a boring party.
Yeah.
Everybody's playing Connect Four, Hungry Hippos or something, whatever else they do at this party.
I think they should...
What they're not telling you is that they're all on Expo, so they're having a good time.
By the way, ROH did this gimmick years ago with a tag team called Special K. So,
was that
the
Cloudy and Cheech?
No, it wasn't. It was another. Don't quote me on that. I'm not 100% sure. I put my foot in my mouth way too often on this show. I don't think so.
You didn't write it down on
the
cloud?
No, I don't even download it in the cloud. Don't get me started.
All right, well, what did you think of the chick match? Because, like I say, we didn't see that one.
They
look as
hideous
as Ryan said they did.
Absolutely not. Cameron has definitely, the look of her hair has gone down about 20%. Of course, I thought it went down about 30% when she went from dark to light, but I like brunettes. And, her hair is bleached on the bottom and brown on top, and it's completely straight. She had kind of a sexy schoolgirl outfit, except it wasn't very sexy. So make of that what you will. And Naomi's gear was fine. I don't know what he was talking about. But they have absolutely...
You know,
go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, he talks about them being unattractive, both of them. Talked about he was never a fan of Layla. Who the fuck is he kidding? Anyone who's ever gone to a strip club with a man knows he has jungle fever.
I am not going to say a thing, but yes, I've heard the exact same thing.
Yeah.
You can, if we ever get Buddy Wayne on the show, we'll have him tell the $40 hat dance story. One of my favorites.
Cool. I just don't find Cameron attractive just because she comes off as such a bitch on TV. So.
Yes. Yes. Years ago, a band wrote a song. It was back in the 90s. The Tragically Hip wrote a song called She Ain't Pretty, She Just Looks That Way.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, there was nothing to the match. Naomi won by... Cameron won by throwing Naomi into the ropes, and her neck got caught on the top rope, and then Cameron used a schoolgirl and then made sure to hook the tights for the pinfall. And that was all there was to it. By the way, the first time on a pre-show, they actually had two matches, and they went a total of, like, 3.5 minutes.
And didn't the Adam Rose one have a commercial in it, too?
Maybe. Possibly right before he got in the ring, but there was nothing to any of these matches. So I don't know if it was just good time filler or what the deal was, but yeah, it was what it was. So then started the pay-per-view, quote-unquote, the special event, whatever they want to call it now. We had the Usos versus Luke Harper and Eric Rowan for the tag team titles. 2 out of 3 falls. Now, this is a match that has been on probably every show for the last 2 months, but they decided we needed to see it 3 times, and this match was phenomenal.
Yeah, I thought I didn't hate the show. I actually will give it a thumbs up. But just barely. But after that first match, I'm thinking, God damn, this is like the UFC where all the pay-per-views suck and the shitty fights on Fight Pass are like the best shows.
Right.
But yeah, it was they kept the first two pinfalls pretty simple, you know. But once that third one came, it was like watching a 6-man from Mexico, because the first two falls are usually pretty simple, and then they go all. Yep. Fucking out on the third one, and that's what they did. And Luke Harper is fucking awesome.
He's so good. So very good.
This is a good match. I just don't know why they had the Wyatts lose again. That made no sense to me.
I almost think that because Jericho was going over, they wanted to... that doesn't make any sense. Never mind. Yeah, I figured they were going to get the titles maybe on Raw the next night, or I don't know. But yeah, now that I think about it, all the Wyatt clan lost. The third fall in this match was just tremendous. I mean, Rowan even got some offense with a double superplex off the top rope. It was pretty impressive, but... Man, the Usos are such good workers, man. They're so good.
Yeah, they're very good, and they've actually gotten more over than I ever thought they could be from a while back. So that's cool. But hopefully, I mean, I was hoping Harper and Rowan would win, just because I'd like to see Harper, you know, win a title. You know, I think he deserves it. So hopefully. Hopefully it's not over and they'll still get a shot unless they decide to have the Usos wrestle the Weirdo Brothers.
How dare you.
But we'll see. That they do that.
No,
because,
no,
I mean, Brian's idea of adding Alyssa Bliss to the group would actually be awesome. She could be like Spirit Dust or something like that.
I have no idea who that is.
Girl,
oh, you'll love her when you see her. She's fucking hot.
She's very attractive, yes. even for a blonde.
And she's like, what is she, 4 foot tall or something?
She's pretty short. I would imagine not over 5 feet. But
yeah, she might just barely be taller than Brian.
I wish the tag team division was better. It seemed like, gosh, probably not even a year ago that it looked like the tag team division was back. And,
when Dustin and Cody were the champions.
Yeah. And it's so gone downhill. I mean, you got the Usos, you got the Wyatts, you got the Dust Brothers, you've got Axel back, you've got the Matadors, and who else?
He's not either in.
Titus O'Neil.
That's the thing.
I guess. But they don't have nothing.
Aren't they going to bring the Ascension up pretty soon? Not that that's saying much, but.
Were they supposed to debut on SmackDown tonight?
I don't know if they were supposed to debut, but they were, like, tweeting a lot. Like, they were. The way they were tweeting
that's
makes
right.
you think that something's up.
Okay. Well, I know they've. They've taken a couple of NXT. They had Neville and the gorgeous one. What's his name? Tyler Breeze on some house shows this weekend. So maybe they'll bring those guys up. Those guys they're not great, but they are another tag team.
Tyler Breeze and Adrian Neville as a tag team?
No. They're bringing up NXT guys. They brought Adrian Neville and Tyler Breeze on the road. And so maybe they'll bring up the Ascension.
Yeah.
But anyway, go ahead.
I was going to say, I hope they don't bring Tyler Breeze up yet. I think he needs a little more.
Yeah.
I think he needs like half a year to a year more. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. He could be carried to a great match.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting there. He's getting there. I just don't want them to do it before he's ready because then, you know.
You can't never re-chamber a bullet.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Getting back to the match. The finish saw the Usos retain their titles. They did a double super kick and a double splash for the pin. So, good match. Great match. Best match on the show, I think. Got Seth Rollins doing an interview saying he's going to beat up Ambrose. And, of course, Dean attacked him. And this was a story that continued throughout the rest of the pay-per-view. You're supposed to have Seth versus Dean in the match. It didn't happen because Dean was thrown out of the building by Triple H.
Well, we'll talk more about it when the whole angle's done. That way we don't have to stop and talk. You know, let's just go ahead and go to the next match.
AJ Lee wrestled Paige for the Divas title. I thought this was possibly the best Divas match that could take place on WWE TV right now, and I was a little disappointed.
It wasn't. I don't think it was as bad as some people have said. You know, AJ just came back. They got to get used to working together. You can't just throw two people and expect them to have great matches, even though they're two of the best women's wrestlers. As far as like the best women's match in WWE, I got to go with Natty and Charlotte. That was actually fucking awesome. Probably the best match in WWE.
Yeah, Charlotte's the main roster.
Yeah, but
WWE though.
I didn't think it was that bad. I mean, it wasn't great or anything, and they did botch that strip thing.
Yeah.
I do like Paige as a heel more. She has way more personality as a heel.
Yes.
You know? And I'm glad they're doing that. At the same time, I think AJ's better as a heel, so I'm not too sure, but we'll see. She's good. I'm sure she could pull being a face off. But, you know, the match was still 5 stars just because the two of them were so goddamn hot. All I had was...
I'm sure that you said that.
I think in my brain
was
three
stars. One time, you know, it was so damn hot that match was 5 stars.
Yeah, you might be able to send it to
you. I don't remember this one. I don't know. Just, I guess I wasn't paying that much attention, or either I was standing in front of the microwave.
You just don't have good taste in wrestling.
I do when I see it. Sorry.
Yeah, but you go to the bathroom, so you always miss the good shit.
My family, I'm in the bathroom doing the good shit. Did you ever think about that?
There you go. You can't argue with logic. That's...
I value my toilet time over everything.
Anyway, the match was fine. There was a horrendous spot, besides the sunset flip spot, there was a horrendous spot where there was an attempted spear through the ropes, and they hit each other like I would throw a cotton ball at Ed, and then they got tripped up on the ropes. It was ridiculous. And anyway, Paige hit the kick. AJ kicked out of the Paige turner. AJ escaped an attempt at the PTO, and then AJ got the pin after she hit a shiny wizard, which was way better than the one she destroyed Natalie with the next night.
It still looked great. It just, you could tell she didn't almost kill her like she almost killed Natalie the next night.
Holy crap.
That was part of the match was that shiny wizard.
What's her finisher? AJ.
Who, Paige or AJ's?
AJ.
AJ has two. She has a shiny wizard and she has that fucking octopus tarantula, whatever the fuck it is.
When she does that octopus move, I don't understand why people just don't drop to their backs.
Oh, it's wrestling.
They just stand there.
Yes, it's wrestling.
Dude, when they throw them against the ropes, they run and bounce off the ropes. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you gotta just, you know, if you can just, you know, believe that, I don't see why you can't, understand how an octopus or tarantula works. What the fuck is it?
I understand how it works. I don't understand how people don't drop to their backs.
Oh.
Yeah. No, you're pointing
out of it.
And going back to my logic on the main event for this, if this was real, why wouldn't Triple H come out and say, Kane, submit to Randy Orton or tap out or get pinned or I'm going to fire you? If he really wanted the title off of him that bad. If we're going to logic...
Kenny Paul from Montreal, they don't need the controversy again. There's too much controversy last time.
If we're going by logic, that's what should have happened. If we're going by logic, yes. To get out of that move, you would drop to your back. But it's pro.
There's no logic in wrestling, though.
Exactly. Then we had Randy Orton and Kane bantering backstage. Basically, Kane says the winner of the title is standing right here. And then
I don't care what anyone says, that backstage segment was freaking awesome.
Really?
Randy made it so fucking awesome, dude. I fucking laughed my ass off from every second of that thing. As soon as Randy came looking around and go, Kane. That was awesome, man. I don't know how no one liked that.
I don't remember it. Must not have been that good.
There you go. Okay, so then I laughed at this way too much, much like I had enjoyed the interview with Orton and Kane way too much. They had the panel with Booker T, Christian, and Alex Riley, and Christian gets the mic. It's his turn to talk, and he says, "This is a heck of a panel. We've got 50 titles between us. We'll just be in Booker T," and then looks at it. And I laughed.
That was pretty funny. It was so funny because he was so enthusiastic when he said it, you know. It's like he had that in his pocket and he was waiting for like hours and hours to fucking say it.
I've got one chambered. Come on, ask me.
Do you think Booker T knows how big of an idiot he looks with that bun in his hair? Stupid.
Well, he still has a hot wife, so he can't.
What the fuck does that have to do with anything?
He can have a stupid haircut and still he gets to go home to his hot wife, so.
It's his
okay.
show. Just let him. Let the baby have his bottle, please. Okay. So then
have you seen his dick? Do you know how big his dick is? It's okay, his hair looks bad, he's got a big dick.
Sense of decorum, please. It's a family show.
Just win.
Did Sinbad fucking visit you and tell you to ask that question? Since he's the one that has that affinity for Sinbad. You know, he's always sending emails to kayfabe commentaries asking whoever the wrestler is, whether they wrestle for WWE or not.
There's only one wrestler, and they still haven't answered it.
You know what? There's a website. It's called MetalSludge.tv. And it's all about the hair metal music of the 80s, and they have a message board, and they have ongoing news. It's much like a Wrestling Observer site for heavy metal back in the 80s. But they have a there is a girl that writes a column, and it then goes into a message board forum, and so people can respond. But this girl is a groupie, and then she goes on the Metal Sludge board and talks about the Rockstars members and talks about length and girth and how much effort they put into it and so forth and so on. And it's a fascinating read.
You know, I have learned from this conversation and from a conversation that was had in Vegas that chicks apparently like to use the word girth a lot when talking about guys' gimmicks.
Okay, here's my thing. I'm wondering when the wrestling rat decides that she's going to start blogging, and then we have one of those for the wrestling world.
Wait, when she
just
what?
Saying. I'm wondering when the quote-unquote wrestling rat starts her own blog, and then we have one of these for the wrestling world. It's got to be somewhere on the internet. I'm just saying. Everything's on the internet. It's got to be on there somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it'll pop up eventually.
I'm not on the internet much.
It made it funny. You didn't even. Anyway.
Must not have been that funny.
I don't understand what you said.
He said it'll pop up somewhere. Ed made it funny and he didn't even. Anyway. Okay, back to pay-per-view.
We're
off the rails. Off the rails. The controversy of the night happened next. Lana came out. And I don't exactly remember exactly how she put it. She said something about recent events and how dare the U.S. blame Russia and this and that. At the time, I didn't really pick up on it.
She said something like the propaganda regarding current events.
Sure. At the time, during the pay-per-view, much like Contreras, I must have been doing something else or preoccupied. I didn't really pick up on it until later, when all the outrage actually hit one of the news sites. Wow. I wasn't offended. Of course, I didn't lose anybody in a plane crash.
I didn't even know there was
Well, there you go. And I'm sure nothing offends Ed, so I mean, between the three of us, I mean.
Well, you're not plugging the show in front of any show kind of offends me, but, you know, I'm used to it.
Oh, my gosh. If we do a show that's worth talking about, I'll plug it.
That's every show. But I did not have a problem with this You know, in fact, I mean, what she said compared to what Bobby the Brain Keenan or Jesse Ventura would say on a weekly basis multiple times during the show is not even comparable. Now, the only reason it made a big deal is because there are just the internet fans who like to bitch and make a fucking hoorah about any little thing they fucking can, and they fucking bitched about it, and it got picked up because it was all over Twitter or whatever, and then news sites get involved. And it's not like this was the very first time she ever talked about fucking Russia. She's been doing it for fucking months. It's just coincidence that this happened. I mean, what was she supposed to do? Not say anything at all of a sudden after the whole gimmick is basically her fucking insulting America and putting Putin's face on the fucking screen?
But she didn't have to allude to that.
People made a big deal about it being nothing. Now, they were kind of dickish in their apology. That is kind of true, but it's this politically correct world that we live in. It just drives me up a fucking wall that people can get so fucking offended about something that honestly doesn't pertain one fucking inch or ounce to them, okay? Yes, it's sad that fucking these 200 people, whatever, got shot down in an airplane. You know, it's sad. But the fuck? It doesn't fucking concern every fucking person here that you have to be offended because they kind of alluded to without actually saying it on a fucking wrestling show. Okay, I've seen some offensive shit on wrestling shows, and this is by far nowhere close to as bad as hundreds and hundreds of different things that I've seen over the years. It's just these fucking internet wrestling fans like to bitch. They got to find something to fucking jump on, and because now you have Twitter and Facebook, shit that means nothing can become something because of a bunch of fucking idiots. And anyone who's offended by that, by the skit, I think you're a fucking moron. I'll say it straight out. You know, there's nothing to be offended about. It's fucking wrestling. You know what I mean? There's nothing to be offended about. You know, and it sucks because the next night they muted her. They changed the program. They changed fucking everything. Luckily, they changed their mind by the next night, and they're back on track on what is the best book feud that they've had in a very long time. So I'm glad about that. So, you know, I just think it's just bullshit. All the people who got offended by it made a big deal about it. There's nothing to make a big deal about.
I don't know if there's so many people got offended or they just thought it was in bad taste.
I think if it was in bad taste, it wouldn't have made so much news or whatever.
Well, bad taste makes a lot of news all the time. It's no much different than people being offended.
It comes in hand, basically. You know, it comes in hand. So, but the people who did get to go apeshit about it and were bitching on Twitter or Facebook or writing their news fucking, their news stations or newspapers or whatever, there's no point. You got nothing better to do. That's all.
Like, I can say something's in bad taste, but it doesn't mean I think it's a bad thing that they do it, you know, in some instances, so.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's absolutely acceptable, you know, but let's say we came on this show and right away you're like, oh, that bitch, she shouldn't have said that, and it offended me, and you know, my cousin's friend's stepdad's girlfriend died in a plane crash, and I'm offended, and fuck WWE, I'm never watching them again. That's a little out of hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, I wasn't offended by it, but like I said, I didn't lose anybody, so...
It was weird they alluded... You could tell what they were alluding to in the...
Yeah.
And what they did, so... I don't think the character needed to say anything, like, alluding to that. So, even though she's been doing this character for months now, they didn't need to allude to it, so... Anyway.
I was more offended by... you know, the way they treated Eddie Guerrero after he passed away. I got offended with stuff like that.
I don't know if it's possible to offend me. But a lot of that stuff doesn't register with me. Like, Eddie Guerrero stuff was, I could tell, it didn't offend me, but it was offensive to a lot of people and very bad taste. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is just another thing we're going to...
Of course, I don't feel that anything, so, you know.
The way I see it is, it was high time they offended somebody because it's been too long. So...
Yeah, I got accused of taking somebody you talking bad about the Raw report too seriously. Me, of all people.
Right.
Did you actually get banned?
I think he did.
Really?
Who banned you? Because it should tell you who banned you.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I didn't get banned.
Oh, you didn't get banned? I thought you told me.
No.
I thought you had. Oh, I guess I read your thing wrong. I thought you had mentioned that you got banned.
No, the person that put that because of... The person always, every week, is, for some reason, always starts a thread bitching about the Raw report on the front page. Never says what's wrong with it. Just fucking Raw report. Suck, suck, suck. Every single week. So, everybody in this thread, like four or five people going in this thread saying, oh, just fuck off with this shit. So... I see that, and I said, well, I want to play too. So I get my keyboard out, and I just said, I took up their phone. I just said, fuck off and die. I didn't think of not being serious, you know, just trying to play with somebody else.
Uh-huh.
So he goes to the patron psychological issues folder and starts a thread called Contreras calling me a piece of shit, and I take shit too seriously. And I think he got banned over it.
Oops. Okay, then.
It was pretty fun.
So anyway, there was a match after this. It was Rusev versus Jack Swagger. And this was another match that I was expecting great things from. And it, in my opinion, just didn't deliver. It was a fine match. There was nothing wrong with this match. But much like some of the other matches, I think I had too big of hopes for it. And maybe that's on me, maybe that's not, but
you should know better, though.
I know I should. I know I should.
The crowd wasn't as good as they've been during the angles they've shot. I didn't think. The crowd wasn't reacting as big as the angles that they've done the previous weeks. So,
If the crowd... did get fucking, the steam went out of them when they lost that match. Had the crowd stayed the way they were for that first match, I think this match, Matt and Craig would be saying how this match would be so much better just because the crowd reaction would have been better, but they were like that for every match after that for the most part. And, you know, it also depends on what city they're in. But I thought the match was fine. I thought it was actually pretty decent. And, I like the finish as far as, you know, I kept the feud going even though they looked like they changed it the next day. I loved fucking Rusev selling the ankle the whole fucking time. That was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It was all right. I didn't have a problem with it. To me, like, this is what, okay, there's so many people who had such high hopes for this show. This show still was a filler show, and it's building up to SummerSlam. So I knew that nothing major was going to happen on this show. Everything was just going to build to SummerSlam.
Transition.
And people are going to be like, well, I paid for this. Well, not really. You paid $10. That's not fucking really paying anything. If you're paying $45, then I'd probably have a different opinion. But it's fucking networked. It's $10.
It's not all the network. People are still paying for pay-per-views.
Well, how are they still paying for it? Well, some people are here and there. And those people have a right to be pissed off. Okay. But as far as, like, the network, and probably I'm wrong because I'm just giving my opinion, but I knew in my head exactly what was going to happen, that these matches were going to be okay, but they're going to build the SummerSlam, and there'll be bigger, better matches at SummerSlam. You'll get more of a payoff at the bigger show. So... I guess, you know, Craig had his high expectations, whereas I had, I guess, lower expectations. I think that caused me to enjoy the show more than he did and other people did. So So it's just how you your mindset was going into the show and how you felt about it. So I didn't have a problem with this match. I honestly didn't have a problem with what we're going to talk about here in a little bit. So, I mean, I thought it was fine.
Don't get me wrong. I didn't hate the show. There was some matches on it. When we ran it down last week, I said, this is going to be a heck of a show.
Yeah.
And then when it, on paper, it looked tremendous. But then we got a couple of matches, and the one we're going to talk about next was another one where I thought the match was going to be off the charts good, and I thought the crowd was going to be really into this. And then when it wasn't, and then when the next match didn't deliver, and then when they took Ambrose and Rollins completely off the show, I was like, oh.
And when they're killing time so much on the show as
exactly.
well.
Exactly.
You know,
they had so much extra time.
Yeah.
They had so much extra time where they would go to the panel, and then they would do a backstage thing, and then they would, you know. There was a lot of wasted time in this show.
Yeah.
And anyway, this match ended when they both were on the outside, and Rusev slid in as the ref was counting 10, so Jack Swagger was counted out.
And it was a good finish, I thought. They want to bring
yeah,
it
the
back.
Finish was fine.
So.
To keep something going, the finish was the right thing to do. Next up, the most disappointing match all night, because I thought this was going to be absolutely tremendous. But in the long run, where I know where they're going with it, I'm fine with the finish. I'm fine with
the
match.
This is the best. That and Stephanie and Brie Bella is the other best build match in this company so far.
Yeah. So we had Chris Jericho versus Bray Wyatt. And the match was fine, but it wasn't anything special. Jericho got the clean win with a code breaker from literally out of nowhere.
It was okay. I mean, it sticks out when Bray loses because he don't lose a lot. I think he's only lost to Cena, hasn't he? He's the only other person he's lost to.
That sounds right.
Pretty sure it is.
Once again, it's a case of Craig got excited for the match when he should have known that it's a long program and they're going to build, and each match is supposed to, one match is supposed to be good, the second match is supposed to be better, and then the ball is supposed to be awesome. And I was watching the match and I'm seeing everyone shit on it on Twitter. And I'm like, what the fuck are they watching? This is fine to me. I mean, it wasn't the greatest match, but I didn't think it was bad at all. I thought it was perfectly fine.
Just because it was the first match doesn't mean you shouldn't expect it to be a great match.
Yeah, I agree with everything you guys just said, both of you. There's no reason it shouldn't have been a great match. There's no reason it wasn't a bad match. You know, it was just it's nothing you couldn't have seen on Monday Night Raw.
Plus, Jericho always seems to lose a lot, so it was kind of weird that he won.
Yeah, totally. And then things got fun. The Battle Royal for the Intercontinental title.
That was awesome.
I really enjoyed this battle. As Vinny said the other night, they've had a pretty good year for battle royals. Kofi Kingston continues to amaze me or surprise me. My son, as we're watching it, is even waiting for the spot. Yeah, what's he going to do this time? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe he's got a pogo stick under the ring. I don't know. But, so this was a great match. Dolph Ziggler, absolutely the superstar of the Battle Royal. And the intricate thing of Miz getting tossed out of between the top and middle rope and then hiding like Jerry Lawler or Bobby Heenan throughout the thing. Dolph Ziggler kicking all kinds of butt, including super kicking Sheamus out. And then Cesaro getting dumped by Heath Slater. Another what-the-heck moment for me. You had Kofi Kingston getting tossed, but landing on the shoulders of Big E, and then going back into the ring. Another great.
When he jumped back, I was like, "What the fuck?" And then all of a sudden, he was on Big E's shoulders. I was like, "What?" Then I was even more like, "What the fuck?"
And then
what was funny is when they finally got him off of Big E's shoulders, Big E was like kind of stumbling around, right. Like he was like unconscious, but you know, still kind of staggering around.
Okay, remind me when we get done talking about the battle royal. I've got one thing to say. Okay, so of course Miz is outside. My son catches on about 3 or 4 minutes left in the battle royal. Hey, Dad, Miz didn't get dumped over the top rope. He's laying right there. And there's Miz. You can see the side of his face and his arm next to the announce table, and I'm like, oh, yeah. I completely forgot about it.
I think this is further proof that this just shows that Brian Alvarez is just the dumbest person who ever lived. I think he's the only person in this entire world who forgot about Miz, even though they kept showing Miz on the floor and mentioned it 2 or 3 times that he was out on the floor.
Yes. I don't know how
he forgot about him.
I don't know how he didn't stumble upon that or how he wasn't alerted some way. He was in the room with Lance Storm and still didn't figure it out. Lance didn't smarten him up.
Maybe that's because Lance was telling the story and fell asleep.
Possibly. So Dolph was the last one in, and of course Miz slides in and dumps Dolph over the top rope. Your new Intercontinental Champion, the Miz.
I've never been so disappointed when Miz dumped him. I've never been so disappointed like I was when I thought the Sandman won the battle royal to be the new Roger Yim and then William Regal eliminated him.
Yes, right.
God damn it. You must have the Sandman as Roger Yim.
Yeah. That's tremendous. I totally forgot about that.
Hey, did you still think the Scooby-Doo WrestleMania movie?
Of course I have. A number of times.
Oh, do you have it out?
I think it's in the DVD player in the guest bedroom right now.
Okay, I was asking. They're showing it on the Cartoon Network this weekend. I don't know if you have.
I see. Yeah, that's one I had to actually drive to Best Buy and buy it. I didn't have. There was no negotiation. There was, Dad, we got to get this. and I love my son, and I'm a sucker, so we drove to the store and we got it. So. Okay, so we were talking about Big E, and we were talking about Kofi. And since we're running low on time already, what do you think about this Nation of Domination?
I'm fucking pissed off. I'm pissed off that Wolfie D is in rehab and him and Jamie Dundee can't come out and say, "We are the Nation of Domination."
Yeah. Well, that's why we need more white trash on TV.
I heard a podcast with Jamie Dundee a while ago.
Unbearable. God.
Did you? Who was that? Who is that with?
I don't know. I've heard many interviews. He's just like, what a horrible thing. I had to listen to him. Jesus, he's irritating as hell. Anyway, I'm sorry.
He did not pull any punches. He was talking about, like, the scams that they would do on the road. I think he was either on, was it on Stone Cold's podcast or, I can't remember who it was, but he was talking about going into Walmart and stealing a bunch of stuff with the boys with him and then going back with a Walmart sack and taking it back and getting the money back for the stolen clothes because he didn't have a receipt. And they would talk about all the times that he got free food from McDonald's by complaining about stuff, and he's talking about smoking crack and smoking weed and this, that, and the other thing, and on and on and on and on. I was.
He's been on Jerry Springer, if that tells you anything.
I sat for an hour and a half with my mouth agape, not believing these stories he was telling. But he was completely serious.
He seems very like the work guests on Jerry Springer a lot, I think. You know, like your daddy sleeping with your mama, but you're secretly in love with her, and you know, somebody's got to move out of the house or some stupid shit like that.
And that's really saying a lot when you talk about Jerry Springer. That's a lot of ground. Okay, so we have the
moving on from incest.
I'm sorry, one more time.
I said moving on from incest to the next
right. Night. Yeah, that's what I do when I main event. We had John Cena versus Kane versus Randy Orton versus Roman Reigns for the WWE title. And Cena walked away still a champion, to nobody's surprise.
It was a good match. There wasn't nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
I thought it was just fine. I don't think I would call it, you know, main event of WrestleMania caliber, but it was fine. There was nothing wrong with it.
I think, though, there is a chance that they're going to risk losing Roman Reigns, because I think they're going to over-push him to the point where they're going to start making him wrestle longer matches before he's ready to. And I think the hardcore fans will end up turning on him if they don't tone it down a little bit.
I don't know about that. I think they're going to end up pushing the guy to the moon. I think that I think his push is deserved. The crowd is super hot into him. The crowd loves the man. Now, with that said, sometimes the best thing to do for a guy when he's super hot and when the crowd's totally eaten up everything he does, some of the best things to do. Okay. In the 80s, when Hulk Hogan was so huge, you very, very rarely saw him on your weekly television. I mean, when it came to Saturday night's main event, he was there. When there was pay-per-view, he was there.
As far as wrestling goes?
Yeah.
So what are you trying to say, that they shouldn't have Reigns on TV every week?
I think they should do that for a lot of guys. I think they should rotate guys in and out. I don't think the champion needs to be on every show. Cena wasn't on Monday Night Raw.
That's fucking argument from last week. You're going to piss off Couture.
What?
I said you're going to piss off Couture, saying that the champion don't need to be there every week.
I don't think he needs to be there.
It's got to do with what I was saying last week, but continue.
Oh, I see what he's doing. Okay. I don't think any guy needs to be there every week. There's that old saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder. When I was watching Superstars when I was a kid, Hulk Hogan came on Superstars like every other month. He was never on that show. And then the next thing you know, in our main event, we have Hulk Hogan wrestling Moondog Spot.
Really, it was never on the show. I mean, that count, I'm trying to think, is like...
Well, you also have to think
about... Like 1988, and he wrestled like on Superstars like once.
Yeah, and it was against one of
the... And all the time they were doing promos or doing like Brother Love show or something.
And it wasn't every
week.
But
at that time, they basically had WWE Superstars, and they had basically primetime wrestling, which was 2 hours of taped matches. They had no live TV. Now they have 3 hours of live TV. They have four hours if you include main event. And then plus throw in 2 more hours for SmackDown that they're all doing in 2 hours. There's no way you can take, like, you could take maybe Cena and make it towards a special occasion. You got to see the pay-per-view to see Cena. But you can't take a whole bunch of them off. The roster's too thin as it is. You know, they got too much live TV. Too much TV. They got to film every week to take multiple people off of TV. They can't do it in this day and age. They have to fill that time, and they got to put everybody out there. I mean, yeah, I agree. It'd be smart to keep Cena off being on TV every week or whoever the champion is from being every week. Maybe have a second special attraction like Andre used to be, you know. But now they can't do that because, you know, you take all their main stars, most of them, and then not have them on, you know, the ratings are going to go down, and then they're going to freak out, and then they're going to put everyone back on TV even more. You know what I mean? So it's, to me, in this time, you know, it's just they can't do that like they did in the 80s.
And then what I said last week, and I told I was stupid.
Well, you're stupid in general, so.
Oh, you're stupid in general. Okay. Good backtrack there. Next.
Anyway, I'm not talking about taking Cena off every week. I'm talking instead of him on four times a month on Monday Night Raw, what's the matter with three? Maybe he misses one show a month. Maybe Roman Reigns misses one show a month. Maybe, you know, whoever.
Well, he just didn't. He just missed one show.
Yeah, he just did.
I can't remember the last time he missed a show.
Exactly. But with all of that said, the match was fine, and Cena retained. And since we are running low on time, we'll just go with this. Monday Night Raw, the next night, we had everybody vying for their opportunity to wrestle Cena at SummerSlam. Cesaro threw his hat in the ring. Orton threw his hat in the ring. Kane threw his hat in the ring. And then at the end of the show, one of the great promo men of all time, Paulie Dangerously, came out and did the greatest impression of the Grinch that stole Christmas and brought out Brock Lesnar. So it'll be Brock Lesnar versus John Cena at SummerSlam, and I hope it's just as good, if not better, and even bloodier than Extreme Rules.
It's a good thing Roman Reigns would take Randy Orton. He might have got beat up by Brock. I don't even know why they brought Randy Orton out at the end of the show. Kind of silly.
Well, they are building to him and Reigns having a match at SummerSlam, so you kind of have it happen.
Yeah, but he came out like he was getting the match, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Now, what if Roman Reigns wouldn't come out? He'd have got killed by Brock or something? I don't know.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. But I think that match, the match they had at Extreme Rules was so different. I'm hoping, possibly even praying, that Vince will let them do the same thing at SummerSlam.
And it felt like it was real. I think probably because most of it was.
Right.
Well, he busted them open for real.
Yeah.
Both of them. Both of them. Brock threw the elbow, split Cena wide open, and then Cena clobbered him with that chain. Clobbered him.
That first pull part they did, remember he busted his mouth open? And that big pull part they did, that one of the first ones? That was awesome.
Yes. Yeah, I hope Vince lets him go. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, hopefully it'll be. I'm pretty excited for it. I mean, because like I said, that first match was pretty awesome. But as awesome as this Paulie promo was, this wasn't even close to the best thing on Raw. And that was the two-part segment with Stephanie McMahon and Brie Bella, and that was fucking awesome. The part that really, when they were doing it, I figured it's going to get somewhat of a reaction. I didn't think it was going to be as much potential as it has until fucking when Stephanie's walking away and you can just barely hear Brie call her a bitch, but you can hear the entire fucking audience right there go, ooh. You know, right there, I was like, oh, shit. This is going to get fucking good here. And Stephanie fucking slapped the shit out of her. And, it also looked awesome the way Brie kind of like flew at her, but then hit the railing and couldn't get over the top. But I thought that segment was fucking awesome. I thought they were both good. And then you know, when they did the second part of it, like, because I'm thinking the same thing. It's like, why in the fuck do they have kill ass bitch ass Stephanie all happy introducing fucking Flo Rida, whatever the fuck his name is, and Flo Rida or whatever, and he's like a baby face, you know, and they got the heel. Like, what the fuck is going on? And then, I mean, it only took me like 1 or 2 seconds before I snapped to when I saw, like, the two guys talking. I'm like, oh, shit, okay. Looks like she's getting arrested or whatever. And then the way they did it, because they did it real slow. And, you know, they didn't have it mic'd. The announcers are not really saying a whole lot. You know what I mean? They got the one bodyguard. Was that Joey Mercury that was with her the whole time? Or was that just when he
was
in the back?
And he's white guy, too. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, the guy is trying to, like, stick up, and then they're like, you know, they're telling him to be quiet and step away, and then, like, I thought that guy was awesome and doing his little part. And, you know, Stephanie went from being the mean fucking bitch who's, like, not scared or whatever, and then she slowly just gets terrorized as she's walking to the back, realizing she's going to get thrown into
the
cop car.
One of the things about Stephanie that I hadn't really liked since she's come back is she... It's aside from, like, when she got slapped and when, like, Vicky pushed her in the mud, like, when she's, like, going at it verbally with somebody, even when they, like, cut her down or really insult her, she never says anything.
Yeah.
To the point, it's like she just smiles everything off and smirks. And that's what made this so great, because nobody had really gotten to her that much.
Right.
So when they took her to jail, And when she slapped Brie, I said, they got to be doing an arrest thing. It's too early in the show. They got to come back and, you know, Brie had a ticket. She's a fan, so they're going to arrest her. That's what they did. I didn't even notice that she was, at first, that she was out there for the concert, because I was too busy fast-forwarding through it. So.
Right.
Did you see Fritz in the audience?
The what?
No.
Brian Fritz was not that far away. I didn't see him on the show.
Well,
I saw like a bunch of pictures. There was a bunch of pictures of him that I saw after the show. But yeah, he wasn't that far. I don't think he was that far from where they were.
I thought this was the best
thing. He wasn't like
right
next to him, but he wasn't that far.
I thought this was the best angle they've done this year.
It was really tremendous.
I lost my shit when he says, we got Jerry on the phone.
And Hunter was so awesome afterwards, back in the dressing room, figuring, you got to get processed, so that'll take some time. So. And then he didn't show up until two hours after the show went off the air. It was like, remember when Goldberg was at the police station because Elizabeth filed charges against him, and it took him a half an hour to go across the street to get back to the arena?
I mean, he makes fun of that car. What did he say? They're driving like a Prius, or what are you
driving?
Saying?
A hybrid. You're driving a hybrid.
You must be proud.
I thought Triple H was tremendous at the end when he was, you know, reconsidering going to the police station, but just the jerk that he was to the cops, as you know. I could just imagine Vince doing that. If Vince were out there, I could imagine Vince, like, literally doing that. And it was, the whole thing was tremendous. It was so good.
Hey, maybe Stephanie sent those two guys to break into Brian Danielson's home.
That's right.
As
yeah. Quote, unquote, break
That'd
the
be
news.
Awesome
they
made
Brian,
that angle.
Brian Danielson apprehends somebody kept breaking into his home, but he got spooked and ran away. And Brian gave chase and tackled him and put him in a rear naked until the cops got there. Tremendous.
Yeah, he's stuck with John Jones. John Jones just tripped the guy and he let the other guys hold him down. Brian just fucking did it all himself.
That's right. We got 5 minutes, Eddie. Throw out the plugs.
All right, everyone, check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows. There's pretty much a show every night. So check out AngryMarks.com. You can also download and stream our show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Katrina and older shows at BlogTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me on Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
And you can check me out on Twitter. I am my last name, Proper, P-R-O-P-E-R, and then put Jam after that. So Proper Jam will take you to my Twitter page. Please follow me there. Any wrestling and music-related stuff I do there, so follow me there. Turn to the floor is yours.
Oh, Couture35 on Twitter. I don't tweet.
There you go. No, he doesn't. But I followed him.
YouTube.com/Couture. Has some old wrestling videos up there. Haven't been there in a month. It may be down. I don't know. But try it.
Well, before we wrap up, I had mentioned I went to that one show a couple weeks ago, the Queen of Queens, and this company, their DVDs are really, like, late coming out, so it'll probably be a while before this DVD comes out. But what do I have to do, Craig, to get you to have Brian and Vinny review this DVD when it comes out?
Send it to me.
I'll tell you what. I'll buy you dinner at WrestleMania.
Oh, jeez. And bust off 3 copies, and I'll try to get them to do a review on the show. But I can't promise.
This show was actually, like, one of the most entertaining indie shows I ever been to. I mean, all the matches were great. Kenneth LaRae and Sue Young had an awesome match. Athena was awesome. They got this one local girl. I've actually had her on the show, like, a long time ago, this girl, Angel Blue. And this chick just, like, stole the show, like, the whole night. Like, she came out, she wrestled Leva the first match. And, you know, they had, like I say, they had Leva, they had Athena, they had Kenneth LaRae. They had this one guy, he was handing out streamers to everybody to throw for the main ones when they came out. Well, I guess I didn't notice him handing out a bunch of fucking toilet paper because they stole the Jimmy Ray's gimmick. So when they introduced this Angel Blue, I swear to God, 30 rolls of toilet paper went flying into this fucking ring. And this chick fucking made sure she wrapped herself in every single one of them, throwing the biggest tantrum I ever fucking seen. That was awesome. And then there's this little fucking 10-year-old boy who's sitting ringside. And at first, he's kind of going for the heels for the most part, except for Paul Linden. Paul Linden wrestled on the show. But other than that, he's going for the heels, so he's kind of talking smack to Leva. But it's funny because Angel Blue just kind of stops and she turns around and looks straight at him, and she's only 2 feet away, and she tells the little kid, "Shut the fuck up, you little faggot."
Yeah.
And everybody in the audience was like, "What the?" And this little kid got all pissed off, so then he starts talking shit to her. And they start going back and forth. And then, like, throughout the tournament, this Angel Blue was helping Sue Young advance, like, interfering. So every time she'd come out, her and this little kid would go out. And at one point, she got right in this little kid's face, put both her fucking little fingers right in front of him, and fucking called him a fucking little faggot. I mean, it was the most fucking funniest fucking thing I ever seen. Everybody was just like, silent after, because they didn't know how to react, but it was fucking awesome. But anyway, and
well,
then I'm, like I say, I'm going to
Brian.
What'd you say?
I said I can't get Brian and Vinny to review that show, but I will talk about what we are going to do next week on this show.
Okay.
If I may. So Couture came up with this idea. We would watch and review Starrcade 91. Now, everybody says, well, who cares? But then, here's the twist, and I really like this. I am going to get all the names.
This is Battle Bowl, by the way. You know, it was the show where they took like 40 guys and they picked names out of a tumbler, and you know, they did that. They teamed up and wrestled another team that they had picked. So that's what we're talking about here.
Thank you. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to finish watching the show, and then I'm going to put all the names of all the wrestlers into a hat, and I'm going to randomly on the show next week pull the tag teams out of a hat, which team is which and who faces who, and we will make our own little fantasy Battle Bowl.
Yeah.
So basically, you're going to test Couture's idea to do in a couple of weeks and just do it already.
Yeah. Yeah, I started watching it last night. Couture made the executive decision. You do not have a say in this because now it's been told to the masses.
The next time that you plug the Brian and Vinny show, I got this button here that will disconnect you, and I will disconnect you the next time you plug their show.
Don't worry, Craig. I have a button that reconnects you.
It doesn't matter.
You have to call in, though. You have to call back in and do all that.
Plenty of other things to do on this Friday night. You're not.
But super ugly. That's what this show that we're going to be doing. So on there, if you would.
Yeah.
Some people might enjoy it.
Yeah. I will. Since we actually have something, I will of course plug that.
Why didn't you finish watching Starcade? Did you fall asleep?
Because it was 10:30 last night, and I had to wake up at 4:30 to go to work. So I thought I should shut it off and try to finish it today, but then plans got changed. So what are you going to do?
Okay.
But, yeah, some of those early matches in that show were a struggle against her. I ain't gonna lie.
What are you talking about? That was like one of the greatest shows of the history of mankind.
No, I
some of them, I think they actually did do a blind draw.
Yes, the first match, Tracy Smothers and Michael Hayes. And then it was Jimmy Carr
and Bill Kazmaier.
Yeah.
Against Mike Graham and DDP.
And then it kind of picked up there when they had the whole Abdullah Cactus Jack thing. But we'll talk about it.
That's awesome.
I think it'll be fun. Ooh. There you go.
Ooh, yeah, that Cactus Jack Bailey Parker thing was, Abdullah the Butcher thing was the best thing on that. But anyway, come back next week where we will be having our guitar already hung up. I haven't even played the music yet. What an unprofessional bastard. Next week, I'm going to try and get Dave on the show since it's our 300th show. Maybe it's hopefully it won't be too busy of a week. So I'll try and get Dave. No promises, though. If not, we will have something else. So everybody come back next week, and we will talk to everybody then. And you can hear stories about me hanging out with Leva Bates, Mia Yam, and Solo Gun.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man! You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the American shit! Let's go hook him up!
Oh, hand of
I'm going to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is off to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.